Amen. Compared to the fact that, oh, he must have really loved us. Our God, an eternal provision throughout all the ages to come, and then when the ages have passed, on into eternity. Oh my God, hallelujah. Now you can really sing that song, safe and secure from all along. Amen. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. When everything else has disappeared, it dissipated. My Lord, hallelujah, we are eternally fixed. I want you to turn, as we have been discoursing in the Paul's epistle to the church at Galatia. Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26-27. I'm going to have two readers this morning. Reader number one and reader number two. Ella Liverman, I guess you can be reader one again. You can Gavin reader number two. We're going to do a little bit of reading this morning. Amen. And of course I have no more trepidations about that. Amen. Amen. If you can read 2 hours of the Passion movie, you can come in here and read a few verses. Amen. I think we're safe on safer ground when we let the Word of God speak anyway. Amen. We stay within the Word, then we're on safe grounds. Elder, I want you to start off, as we always do, verses 26, 27, 28, and 29. And of course, we go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. Teaching is 90% repetition. Absolutely. Amen. You can't go over this too much. You can't say, "Well, I have read this passage it's a number of times. I don't need to go over that anymore." That doesn't happen. You may graduate from things in the physical arena, but you never graduate from anything in the spiritual arena. Amen. All right, everybody got the 26th verse of the 3rd chapter of Galatians. Amen.
Amen.
All right, reader, read.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26.
Mm-hmm.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male and female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus.
We dealt with that last week. Now, we in the 28th verse, and then verse 29 reads what now?
Verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Amen. And that's not talking about the dispensation of promise. It's not speaking about Abraham in relationship to that promise. We'll deal with that in our discourse. We had moved down to verse 27 and verse 26. Basically, as we look at this glorious instituted body of Christ, again, we must draw a distinction between the spiritual and the physical. And the body of Christ is spiritual, it's not physical. The local assemblies and the manifestation of that from an outward appearance, it is physical. But the real church, the essence of what we are called into is spiritual. It is not physical. So it is the spiritual realm that we focus on, and the fact that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, that is spiritual. Amen. The fact that we are baptized into Christ. Amen. Even though we think of baptism, we think of the physical ceremony of water baptism in some fashion here. The Greek word baptizo here is the one baptism that Paul speaks of in Ephesians chapter 4 when he said there's only one. And he's speaking of the spiritual baptism. We shall deal with that also in our this course. But the essence of being baptized into Christ is spiritual, not physical. It is invisible, not visible. Also, to have put on Christ here, as it is stated here, is the essence of that which is also spiritual. We have the Greek word here, anathisathē. Basically, it means to be clothed or to be enveloped in Him. Amen. And actually, you did not of yourself, you have the passive voice here, you did not put on Him. You were, amen, you were you were placed in Him. And so, in essence, He enrobed Himself and He clothed us. We did not clothe Him. Amen. And our life hidden in Him and in the essence of that which we have put on. And in verse 28, also following the same line, what Paul basically is saying, that if we are the children of God and that is spiritual, by faith in Christ Jesus, which is spiritual, and if we are baptized into Him and that is spiritual, and we are put on Him that is spiritual, then everything that is associated with the body of Christ is spiritual. And if everything associated with the body of Christ is spiritual, then we should continue in the vein of spiritual. So get away from nationalities and status, and this is what the next verse is about, genders and all of these things. And so Paul is trying to keep the body focused into that which is spiritual. Amen. And so he says in that 28th verse, from the Greek text, one is not a Jew, nor Greek. One is not a slave, nor free. One is not a male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Again, just kind of recap what we had said in the last week or so. This verse must be viewed with the full understanding what spiritual baptism connotes, and that those who are in Christ lose their physical distinctions in the body of Christ. Thus, the composition of body members are all races, regardless of physical identities. It's all amalgamated as one. We have dealt with the essence of Jew and Gentile. There is a litany of verses in this verse. Jew, Gentile, bond, free, and then male, female. And of course, that's the one that causes the greatest controversy, believe it or not. Amen. But we'll deal with that in hopefully we'll touch on some of this morning. Here, when we say Jew, Gentile, here he uses the Greek phrase eotheos, ephe, elin, which is translated Jew, neither Gentile. And as we have said, one's ethnicity or one's nationality has nothing to do with the body. Again, as we said last week, we say again, I implore upon you, the majority of us sitting in here are Afro-American. Instead, now that's fine in its place. But there's no such thing as a black church. This is not a black church.
No,
amen. The body of Christ has no color Amen. There are no distinctions of color. Amen. There's no such thing as a white church, a Japanese church. Amen. Not if you're talking about the body of Christ. Now, I know in congregations, this is just human nature. There's a term that said birds of a feather flock together. Amen. So the blacks usually stay together, the whites stay together, the Japanese, you have Korean church and so forth and so on. These are the physical manifestations of congregations. When we say church, we need to focus on the eternal entity that God, amen, basically set forth and set up in eternity. When He chose us and He elected us in eternity, amen, He placed us in His body, the body of Christ. There's only one, amen, distinction, and there is only one identifiable entity in the body of Christ. That is the head. It's Christ. When you say the body of Christ, amen, by the genitive of possession, it is the body that belongs to Christ. This is His body. The church is Christ. Yes, I know sometimes there are those that even speak of the church and say, my church, especially pastors, someone begin to think that the church belongs. No. When you say church, you're talking about the body. And if you're speaking of the body, amen, the body is all by the ones who paid for it. Amen. Now, in eternity, the Lamb of God was slain. Amen. And He bought, He purchased with His blood. Amen. This precious entity, the body of Christ, it belongs to Him. He is the head. He is the source. He is the everything.
Glory.
So this is why when we come together, we'll talk about other things.
That's it. Come on.
You won't ever come in, and I pray, amen, that even if I'm away, and if I get back and I hear, amen, that anything else has gone on, amen, other than the fact that we have focused upon Jesus Christ, amen, we have wasted our time.
Yes.
He is the only one that's worth talking about.
Come on.
It is Him and Him alone. It is not about anything else.
Glory.
Men have brought to politics and they have brought to sociology and many other humanistic issues into the church and made them the prevalent and made them the focus. Oh my God, one of these days the politics will be gone. The social, oh my God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. Glory.
This is why we dwell in the everlasting zone.
Yeah.
A that which is going to stand when everything else has fallen.
Glory.
So nationality and ethnicity means absolutely nothing in the body of Christ. The second variant we have dealt with here is expressed by the Greek phrase of doulos ofte elefthelos. It's translated slave, neither free, or slave, nor free. And last week we went very quickly. We're not going there this week. We have to move on. But we went to the book of Philemon. Paul writes to Philemon concerning his slave Onesimus.
He
said, listen, he is a brother. Amen. He's a brother. He may be your slave in the world. He may be your slave. You may think you owe him in the natural realm, but you absolutely do not owe him in the body of Christ.
Yes.
So once our social status and social standing, amen, is a non-effect. In other words, as we said, it does not avail nor repel. As neither regarded as efficacious faculties for salvation.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
So there's no caste system in the body of Christ.
Right.
Amen. It's in this light that Paul makes his appeal to Onesimus. And so, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, regardless of what your state may be in life, there's nothing that no one brings to the table and offer to God and say, and knock on the door and say, let me in. Amen. Oh my God, hallelujah. If we can ever just get out of the physical thinking and the physical move and look into the essence that this is an eternal occurrence.
Already.
Now, we move today into the third and final verse of our litany. In the verse, verse 28. And it's characterized, follow me now, by the Greek phrase, osynke, theme, translated, male and female. Yes, I know the King James said no. Amen. But here it is a unit. Amen. Oh my God. Hallelujah. They belong together. And anytime you say male, you must say, you continue by saying and female.
Yeah.
Amen. And you see the consistency of this in the Word of God. But of the verse thus covered, this one seems to be the most challenging of all, as it cuts to the very core of men's traditions. Yet, neither male nor female, and male and female, have any special advantages in the body of Christ. Simply stated, there's no distinction of gender, as both sexes are on the same level. Yes, I said it. I said it because the Bible said it. All references to differences in gender fall outside the realm of the body of Christ. Follow what I'm saying now. And we're going to read a little bit this morning because this is one that we need to clear up. In the spiritual sphere, gender distinctions are non-existent as contrasted with the physical purviews of the duties, obligations, and responsibilities of domestic life and society in general. Now, there is a difference in the physical realm.
Hallelujah.
But that's in the physical.
Not
in the spiritual. Now, this is an area of great conflict and debate, as unfortunately most of God's people are not able to differentiate between spiritual and physical spheres.
Right,
this must be fully understood, especially in light of many seemingly discriminating instructions in Paul's directive to the church. Here we note specifically Paul's instructions in his epistle to the Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians, and both Timothy and Titus, as he conveys segregated instructions along gender lines. Now, here we have to draw a distinction between the physical manifestation of what we view as the church and the spiritual essence of what the church is in Christ. In Christ. Now, this is confusing to some who are not knowledgeable to the point of understanding the distinction between the composition of the invisible church, that is the spiritual organism, such as the body of Christ, as compared with the visible church, which is manifested in the physical organization and operation of the local congregations and assemblies. So I want you, brethren, I want reader one to take 1 Corinthians chapter 7, chapter 12, chapter 7, I'm sorry, verses 1 through 17.
Right.
And also verses 24 through 40. And also, the second reader number 2, I want you to take 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Those of you who may copy these down are within a few weeks. I'm hoping that by the end of the month to get this document to you, and for those that may be listening on the audio on the website, this document, The Glorious Body of Christ, we hope by the end of the month, beginning of next month, to have completed this, then you will have this in written documentation. The third reader wants you to have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. Let's read the number. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, who's next? So, reader number 1, you will have 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 17 and 24 through 40. Reader number 2, you will have 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 34 and 35. Reader number 1 again, you will have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 to 33. And reader number 2, Colossians chapter 3, verses 19 through verses 18 and 19. Are you, brother, writing these down? Amen. Don't try to remember it. Amen. And then we'll go forth there. All right, first one we will turn to, because what's going to happen here is as you read this, you say, well, there's a difference. There's a difference between male and female in the church. Again, we say church, what are we really focusing on? Are we focusing on the local assembly that is basically tied in with the operation of our physical environment? Are we looking at the body of Christ in its spiritual vein, amen, without any association that is in its essence with the local operation of the assembly? And so the one is different from the other. All right, let's start out in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Now I'm gonna do some lecturing here, okay? All right, we want to get this over. This is so very, 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 very important. You have the physical manifestation to the local assemblies, which each and every one of us should belong. Everyone should be in a local assembly somewhere. Amen. That is only a visible, worldly manifestation of who you really are. As a member of the body of Christ, the church, amen, that was established in eternity. Amen. And as we shall see, we won't get into this today, there is the essence of the new creation, who is the new man, who is firmly fixed. He is holy and he needs no adjustment. But we are still in these, unfortunately, we are in these vile bodies. Amen. He has saved your soul. Amen. And he has captured your spirit. Amen. But your body is still depraved.
Still.
And so, we must draw this line of distinctions. And in this world, it has been set up on the basis that there is think. Because when you look into the Old Testament and you look at the essence of God's entity, the Commonwealth of Israel, you see all of these distinctions that are in there, including male and female, and absolutely ethnicity-wise, because in the Old Testament, God did not have any dealings with any other nation except the Jews. And Paul, in the third chapter of Romans, he says, is there any advantage in that dispensation? This is what I'm talking about now, of being a Jew. What advantage had the Jew? He said, in much in every way, because in that day, they were committed to oracles. They had the commandments. But that's in this, that time. We're in a new day. We're in a new dispensation. Amen. We have a new contract. And that contract, encompasses both Jew and Gentile. This is why it's so important to distinguish and understand and have a walking, working knowledge of who you are, body of Christ. And let your spiritual everlasting association with God in Christ, overrule and dominate you as a member in the local assembly.
Yes.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Elder, I want you to read lots of reading. And I just want you to listen. We're in verse 1 of chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. We're just corroborating some things now.
All right,
read.
1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now concerning the things wherein you wrote unto me.
Because in the local assembly there are problems.
Sure.
There are troubles. Amen. All right? Amen. It said there's a lot of trouble. You know, one pastor, that means that these people are giving me a fit. I said, what's new? Amen. Oh, my God. So, you see, there were problems there. Read.
It is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication.
Mm-hmm.
Let every man have his own wife.
Mm-hmm.
Let every woman have her own husband.
Mm-hmm.
Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence.
So he's talking and you say, well, there's a difference. Well, see, that's in the local assembly. Amen. That's not in the spiritual essence of the spiritual entity of the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there is no male and female. And we'll see in a minute that when reference is made to that this body, it is feminine. The whole body is referenced as feminine. And the only essence of this hookup that is masculine is the head, and that is Christ. But, amen, it is comprised of those of us that are called out world. And so here is the distinction that as we move toward eternal rendezvous with Him, when He calls us out of the world, and when the dead in Christ shall rise, and all, who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him. Until that time, those of us who are alive and remain, we are situated in local assemblies, and we have problems, and this is what Paul is dealing with here. Read.
And likewise, also the wife unto the husband.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Verse 4. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body.
See how he's drawing his distinction, but he's dealing with the physical essence of the fact that he has not called us out of time into eternity yet. That's why we have that difference. So he goes on down through here, and I want you to jump now down to verse 24. If you read the rest of that, verse 24 through 40. All right?
verse 24. Mm-hmm. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now concerning virgins.
He's talking to here and I. We're talking. We're into gender thing. And someone read that and they'll say, oh, there is a difference. And I'm saying, what are you talking about? It's a difference between us here at Grace Gospel Church,
yes,
as members of an organization.
Yes.
And this is our earthly, amen, identification and manifestation, mm-hmm, as we are called into local assemblies.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not really what you are. I hope that you are not looking at me, and I should not be looking at you on the basis of what we see when we look at each other and say, this is what we're going to be. See? So there, he's talking about gender there. All right, verse 26, go ahead.
I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress.
This is good for the present distress. This here, he's dealing with, amen, the physical manifestation of the local assembly in time.
Absolutely. That's what he's dealing with.
But amen, you know, one day, when time is no more, there'll be no organization, Grace Gospel Church. I mean, if it's so, you can have it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Or any other assembly. It is for the present.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Bring it out.
This is what's happening in time.
Right.
And here he was dealing with organization.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so he goes on, and we won't read all of this. He said, are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loose. And if you, amen, are loose, seek not a wife. And he's just giving some general instructions. And it is amazing to me that how much teaching that I look on television and I see,
mm-hmm,
about marriage. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have some seminars, and we have a brotherhood, we have a sisterhood, and sometimes we come together and we have a seminar on that. But to major in that, no. See, Paul was compelled, because of who he was dealing with, to deal with these things. Amen. And that is that he's dealing with the depraved men who have been called out,
yeah,
by God. Amen. But when you started talking about the everlasting church, you're not talking about the local assembly.
That's it.
We're not talking about me and my status and you and your present status.
No.
See, the body of Christ is spiritual,
yeah,
not physical. But here, as he makes these distinctions, it is because there are distinctions in the world that he has to deal with it in this light.
Uh-huh.
Amen. But we're so used to focusing on the physical.
Yeah.
All right, now for sake of time, I'll let Carcass beat him up. Let's go to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians right quick. Amen. And here it is. It is just so much that we need to we need to understand.
Yeah.
Oh my God! If we could ever see this thing like God, amen, has laid it out,
mm-hmm,
amen. Now here's one that we just left one, and it's dealing with the local assembly, and it's dealing with some operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you don't take that is designed for order and instruction in the local assembly and make it a rule for the spiritual essence of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to one that is called a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 34, read it.
1 Corinthians 14:34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law.
Okay, now, here, Again, Paul was dealing with some order in the local assemblies based upon, first of all, the custom of that time, as well as the fact that they were, this is one of the earlier writings of Paul here to Corinthians, as he did with baptism and some of the others. There's some of the custom they had. The men were sitting on the one side, the women the other, and basically that caused a confusion. Because if a woman didn't understand, she'd holler across the aisle and ask the husband. Can you imagine? Amen. Even the distraction that we have from time to time when the babies cry. And can you imagine if one of you on the other side they holler to the other and this then Paul said, "Hey, man, you women, you all keep silent, and you have a question, ask you," and that was in that day. You know what some have done? They've taken this and said, "No women preachers." Of course, it's so strange, the politics of things. How the nominations that were so adamant about that thing, the powerful those women got, that petition came down, didn't it? Huh? Oh my God! In certain past times. You couldn't dream of a woman preaching or teaching in some of these denominations.
That's true. That's so true.
And this is what they were using. Someone said to me, "What you think about this woman that took over this church? I won't call it, name the church here in Detroit." And I said, "Well, can she teach? Can she preach? Then what's the problem?" Yeah, but the Bible says, "No, no, wait a minute. Go back and take that thing into context." What's more important than him giving instructions and directions as to what was happening in this situation here is that in the spiritual entity of the body of Christ, there's no male and female. I didn't say male, not female. There is no male and female.
Yes.
There is male and female, amen, but there is no essence of in the body, male and female. That's what he's saying.
Yeah, not in the body.
Not in the body of Christ.
Amen.
So when we say church, we have to know what we're talking about. Alright? Now, this is the text. And we have to learn to not, and thank God for Pastor Colbert, who I was allowed to sit under some 31 years. Amen. Which he taught us. Amen. Don't go and pull one verse of scripture out and run with it. Go up a few verses, or down a few verses, and see what's happening. That's like somebody walking up in the middle of a conversation and they grab one sentence and they go to town with it, and the people who are conversing there turn to look at him and say, "What is he? What is he talking about?" See? Now you go down one verse and it brings it into context. Read it.
All right. 1 Corinthians 14:35. "And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home."
See what was going on? They had nothing to do. You see? But no! If you're going to run and just grab verse 34, now you've, and this is why we have so many doctrines and so many dogmas. Because someone is not taking, amen, the pain to properly exegete, amen, and interpret what is written. What is the conveyance? What is he talking about?
Amen.
No. For in this time, read the balance of it.
"For it is a shame for women to speak."
It's not proper for the woman to be over there hollering across the aisle to her husband, asking him, "What did he say? What is he talking about?" Isn't that strange? All right, one more and then we're down for the day. Let's go to Ephesians. Oh my God, chapter 5. Verses 21 through 33. Are you with me this morning? All right? Everybody got Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Now, this passage is what we use a lot of time, and I even use myself in counseling. But this is only a byproduct. This is a byproduct. For Paul plainly states, that we shall read in a second, I'm talking about Christ in the church. All right? Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
All right, read.
Ephesians 5:21.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
All right.
Why submit yourselves unto your own husband?
Okay, now that he's speaking here, those are members of the congregation. And remember now, we're not of this world, but we're still in this world. And because we're in this world, there are certain systems and customs and traditions, not all of them, but there are still some that we will abide by. Amen. In the local congregation, there's a difference between a brother and a sister. But in the body of Christ, it's not. Huh? All right, read.
As unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
For the husband is the head of the wife,
mm-hmm.
even as Christ is the head of the church,
mm-hmm.
and he is the Savior of the body.
Now you see, he'll bring into focus what he's talking about in a minute. Ooh, I wish I had time. That clock is destroying me this morning. Read.
Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ,
mm-hmm.
so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, here he's talking about order. Those who are part of the assembly between the husband and wife in the home, and his basic thought is how the body of Christ is structured.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me now. Read.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
All right, here's what's going on, because that clock's not going to allow me to do this morning. What is going on is he is saying, let operation of the spiritual entity in the body influence, amen, the natural operation of your lives.
Yes.
Since you're in the world, mm-hmm. and this is the structure of the world, and God has certainly, amen, and not only endorsed it, he is the one who made the institution of husband and wife. You notice I said husband and wife, and I'm not going to get off on that this morning. Husband and wife. Husband and wife. Male and female. Not no neither nor. You see? You look at that Greek word there. It is ter. Rendered and. That conjunction there is and. Not nor. Man and woman. Not man or woman. Huh? It's neither nor, but it surely isn't or. It's and.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
But those who are in the essence of the body of Christ should let the first rule of your behavior be influenced by the operation in the body.
Oh.
What is the operation in the body?
Oh.
And so someone comes to me and says, what can a woman preach? Well, the Bible said male and female in the body.
Amen. Amen.
See how it works? What's going on in the body influences what goes on in the local congregation. Because, thank God, what goes on in the local congregation doesn't influence what goes on in the body. Because a whole lot of things going on in the local congregation. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We shall see in the weeks coming up the new man he set.
Mm-hmm.
Sure
is.
Mm. No?
Sure is.
See, we said that the outward man perish and the inward man is renewed. When you look into the Greek, it doesn't say about nothing about no inward man. The word anthropos is not there. It didn't say inward man. He said inwardly we are renewed. And you wonder why we preach and teach from the Greek manuscripts here? Because we're not going to be held captive by any translation
Thank you,
or anyone's commentary. I don't care whether it's Weiss, Spurgeon, yeah, I'm calling names, whether it's Ironside, whether it's Moody, I can name all the theologians. I can even go back and to some other centuries, amen, whether it's Arthur Pink, no matter who it is, Scofield, no matter who it is. What we are interested in is Bible exegesis. And that is, we go to the original manuscripts and let the scriptures do the talking. And while if it reads, it reads, and if it doesn't read, then we don't follow that. But what's happening in the local assembly is that we think this is what it actually happens on. And this is why men get into all of these that I'm just going to have to bail out today. But this is why men get into all of these different I call them traps. You get in the traps that they're in the organizations and they're fighting for power. They're fighting for offices. They're fighting that somebody wants to be a bishop. So he, amen, he goes and he lobbies those on the bishop board. And if it's an organization, he wants to be president of it, a head of it, a chairman of it, and they get into all of these things and titles. Men, I'm here looking for titles. You know, I'm district this, I'm region of this and that and all, and they're doing all of these things. That actually is really crazy because it's all gonna pass away.
All of it.
It's temporary.
Yes.
One day they'll no longer be an organization. And then what would a bishop mean? Nothing. Huh? But we focus on the local operation of the local assembly and what is going on there. Amen. And we prioritize that over what's happening in the body of Christ.
That's it.
And so man and woman, wives, and husbands, and all of these things, they have their place. But even Paul is writing here, he said, now husband, do as Christ, because the focus is on the body, since you're a member of it. And wives, do as Christ, and do as unto Christ, and do as you would do as a member of the body of the Christ in submission. Amen. In other words, let the focus be on the